Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm Scott Evans.
And I'm Zuri Hall.
And you are listening to The Vault by Access Hollywood. Thanks for joining us. Today is one of my heroes, actually.
I love her.
Like, she is just not only one of the greatest athletes of all time, she is, of course, a all-star tennis player, 23 Grand Slam singles titles, the most by any player in Open history. She's been ranked number one in the world 8 times. Could you imagine being ranked number one in anything?
Right. Once, let alone eight times.
No, I can't.
That's not my reality.
It is Serena Williams' reality for sure. Do you have an experience, a interaction that sticks out?
Funny enough, I've not had the privilege of interviewing her in person, you know, but I've always admired her. She and her sister Venus were the reason that I started tennis lessons when I was a young girl, you know, growing up as a young Black girl in the 90s, the early to mid 90s, especially. Serena and Venus were these new kids on the block, and everybody was like, wait, what? So I signed up for tennis the day of my first tennis match. I was like, okay, I can do this. It's going to be great. But I was super shy growing up. So I got my racket and I walked up to the court and I literally, it was time to start the first match of my tennis career. Mm-hmm. It was time to unleash my inner Serena.
Yeah.
And I pulled up my racket and the girl across the net was staring me in the eyes and I was staring her back. And then I started crying. And I said, I can't do this. Everybody stand down. Abort mission. I don't want to play this. Mom. And then I left.
Panicked? You panicked?
The park. I just exited the scene. I got stage fright. I freaked out. So I left. And my mom was like, we have paid so much money for these tennis lessons. You get back on that court. And I was like, I can't do it. So that's as close as I ever got to my Serena moment. Thank you for inspiring me.
So what you're saying is you're triggered. You're triggered this episode.
This episode is a trigger moment for me.
Who knew?
I threw that with my therapist.
Who but yeah. knew?
So to this day, I have never played a tennis match in my life, even though I had a whole ass year of lessons. Because I got performance anxiety. I was scared. I was a child.
You know what? This summer, we're going to change that.
We're gonna work on it.
We're gonna get you on a court, and we're gonna get a crowd, and we're gonna get you a moment back. We're gonna get you to
make sure you pay them to cheer, please, because if they don't cheer, I don't want them there.
We'll pay them with free soft drinks or something.
We'll make it happen. No one will come. Awesome. Have you ever encountered and/or interviewed Serena?
I have. I actually got invited to. It was like a karaoke situation and she's like Bon Jovi. I'm a Bon Jovi sitch or I'm a Journey sitch. Mm-hmm. And then I started singing Just a living small town girl.
Learning rings.
And she finished the song. I was like, oh yeah. I mean, like this is the vibe. She's always been incredibly generous, incredibly open, considering how much heat she gets for just trying to be, not trying, for just being a fierce female in her sport, right? Mm-hmm. Just moving through the space. It was funny, like, she was criticized if she did or if she didn't, right? Like, she's one of those athletes. It's like, remember being on a job and they were like, she's Serena Williams, she's controversial. And I was like, controversial?
What is controversial about Serena Williams?
What is and controversial about?
With the utmost respect and like not understanding.
Help
this
me.
This is going to be a whole different bonus episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood because, and I will just say it plainly, as a Black woman, there are so many stereotypes and microaggressions that surround us in the workplace, no matter what our workplace looks like, whether it's an office or a court, it does not matter. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she gets as worked up and passionate as any grown man, particularly any grown white man, and in many cases, white women on the court, it becomes something different. Oh, mm-hmm. She's difficult. Oh, the refs hate her. Oh, she's a baby or she's a spoiled brat or whatever. Why are some athletes allowed to show that passion? Mm-hmm. And it's just, they love the game. They left it all on the court. And then in cases like Serena's, very often, and we've seen this even in the publishing of caricatures, right? About her performance and her behavior on the court, and the exaggeration of features is a mm-hmm. part of a character. And what is exaggerated says a lot about subliminal messaging. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And the ideas that you might not vocalize, but certainly reveal through your work. Mm-hmm. And so it really frustrates me when I see people like Serena and other women of color, particularly Black women of color, being persecuted and picked apart. We have to behave. We could talk about Naomi Osaki. I'm getting on a tangent right now, but Naomi prioritizing her mental health right now, mm-hmm. and people looking at her like, that's not your job. Your job is to do whatever you do on the court for our entertainment.
Right.
A lot of double standards.
Yeah.
So what I just remember like to say is everybody chill out.
Chill out. Do you remember when she wore the cat suit? Was it the French Open? When Serena wore the cat suit. Yeah, it was the French Open and it was banned. And then later we found out that she was wearing it not for fashion, but because she has blood clots. Mm-hmm. And it was help with the compression and things like that. That was the narrative. And it was just like how quickly it was like, well, it took from the attention of the game and it became about her outfit as opposed to the sport. And it was like, I agree. It just seems like a whole lot, which is one of the reasons why instead of dwelling on the negative, we are opening up the Access Vault and digging into some of the best moments with one of the best people out there.
That's right. She is the GOAT. And starting things off today, we're going to throw it back to 2002. So this was at a point in Serena's career where she was at the top of her game, mm-hmm. literally just days before this interview clip you're about to hear. Serena won the Wimbledon championship for the first time in her career, defeating her sister Venus to win a Grand Slam singles title. Also, let's not sleep on the fact that the two women competing were the Williams sisters. So no matter who took it, it was Sophia Williams, all right? We won. This victory earned Serena the world number one ranking for the very first time. And Access caught up with her in a limo headed to the ESPY Awards.
Come on.
The cars we would be in.
The rides.
It was the to and from, not the where. We asked her about what it was like to win against her sister, and this is what she had to say.
Well, right now, it's just I'm doing so much in my life right now. I'm here in LA and Hollywood at the ESPYs, and I've just won Wimbledon. I just became number one. It's just so much going on. I don't even think I've had, because I haven't had time to stop. I've been going and going and going and going. I just don't really think that it's settled in for me right now that I've reached the apex of my sport, because I don't want to be satisfied with that. I want to keep going. I want to keep reaching new goals and just getting better and just keep having fun with everything. So I don't know if it's really settled in with me yet, but you know, I just take it in stride. I'm still young.
Tell me about your sister. What was that like after you guys finished the match? You know, you go back to the dressing room, the two of you together. What does she say to you? What do you say to her? Do you say sorry? Does she say,
no,
I'm happy for
Venus
you?
Venus is a great champion. And she's, that's probably why she does so well. She's just so gracious and so humble and just a unique person. And she's very happy for me and whatever I do. And honestly, I'm very happy for her, really. Because we're a loving family. We love each other with all our hearts. And it's just the way we are. It's different. And it doesn't sound normal, but she was really happy for me. I'm sure maybe she wanted to win too. She was maybe a little disappointed, but in the end, you have to be happy. You can't, you know, hold a bitterness.
Was there any guilt at all? I mean, when you, you know, I mean, obviously there's adulation,
yeah.
But also she's your sister. You're like,
she's my older sister. She's always done things for me. She's always taken care of me. So it's a little, you just have to play tennis. It just comes with the life. I can see why it's a little difficult because, you know, I live with her. It's my own blood and flesh, and it's just—it's really amazing how we were able to do it. And sometimes I don't understand how I'm able to do it, but when it gets to that moment, there's so much adrenaline going on. There's so much adrenaline rush in your body, and you just get so excited to have a chance to win Wimbledon or the French Open or the U.S. Open, and you just don't want to give up that chance to anyone, whether it's your sister or anyone else. And I think once that big moment really hits, you just, you know, take it all in stride and you just calm down.
Jesus, I ain't giving it up to anyone. You
hear me? Listen, I love you, girl. Mean it.
This is Wimbledon, baby.
Hey, mine. This one here gonna be mine. You got one, I'm gonna get one too.
You got next. No, but I do, in all seriousness, love them and their dynamic, because that's a hard thing, mm-hmm. to not just go up against one another, but also navigate the space in the aftermath. No matter what, one of y'all is going to have to process some difficult emotions right now. Probably both, because you love and care about your sister. She even said in the clip, you know, that Serena and Venus were living together at the time. So right. You might win Wimbledon, but we in the same Uber home, sis.
Yeah. Quite literally. I don't care who win. I'm not riding home in an Uber. We gonna be in somebody's limo. And if you win, I'm gonna be in your limo along with Access Hollywood. That's all you
exactly.
need to know.
Exactly.
EU and Access.
Exactly.
What's
that
the deal?
Can you
imagine what it must be like to be approaching mm-hmm. your legacy, right? Do you think that, because you can tell that she has an idea that she is good, mm-hmm. excellent at this sport. You can tell that she understands, she knows this game and is anticipating more, right, to come her way. But do you think she had any idea that she would go on to be the GOAT when it comes to the sport, when it comes to athleticism?
You know what? I don't know. I'm split on that one, because a part of me says no, right? It's just so specific and epic mm-hmm. and continuous. Who could imagine that? But what can often be said for the GOAT of any sport, of any industry, is they do see that for themselves.
Kind of, right?
They have a very unique ability to specifically visualize not just success, because more often than not, in my understanding and learning, is that it's not really the success, the accolades, the clapping, the attention, or the fame that they're visualizing. Mm-hmm. It's the mastery of a craft. And it is inevitable that the riches and the rewards of that come. So mm-hmm. do I think she imagined all of the accolades, the global fame, the however many times she's being acknowledged in the way that she was? Maybe not, but I 100% think that she saw and felt in her bones what it would be like to conquer at Wimbledon, right. to be the greatest of all time. I don't know about the specifics of, you know, what that feels like in the day to day.
Right. But the dream for her was something she was dreaming. It was not a surprise.
I don't think it was a surprise to Serena.
It kind of reminds me of a conversation I had with Tiffany Haddish at her bat mitzvah. And I was saying to her, could you have ever imagined that this would be your life, right? You are rich, you are black, you are living your dream with multiple TV shows, multiple movies, some of the biggest stars asking you to be a part of their projects, people greenlighting your projects just because your name is on it. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I could have never. Actually, yes. Mm-hmm. Because it was the dream of this, it was the visualization of this life that got me through the nights where I was sleeping in my car.
That's exactly it.
She was like, otherwise I wouldn't have
something else.
Had to be something else. Mm-hmm. And I was not gonna stop working until we got it. So
yeah. I love it. Feel good. Y'all, we got so many more clips. We want to talk about them all. But first, I think we should take a little break. Just a little breather. I'm gonna go practice my swing.
Yeah, you do.
I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, so moving forward in today's episode, I want to talk about the philanthropic side of Serena. She has always been one who has prioritized opportunities to give back, to stay connected to not only her own community, right, but also communities in need around the world. She's a UNICEF ambassador and works with them to provide education to kids who find themselves in situations that are not necessarily good for them. Mm-hmm. Be it poverty, be it lack of education, be it hunger, whatever those situations might be. She's also the founder of the Serena Williams Foundation, which donates to educational organizations, social welfare, and community development. She is one of those people who's like, how else can I help? What else can I do? And these are just the things that we know about. What I also know about her and also her husband, Alexis Ohanian, is that they are the kind of givers that give anonymously. They give frequently to areas they feel like and in spaces they feel like can have the best and biggest impact. So in 2004, Access sat down with Serena and Venus to ask them about some of their most recent charity endeavors, the Williams Sisters Tour in particular, and the Ronald McDonald House. Listen to what they had to say.
And basically what happens is that there's so many people who lend their name, so many people who get so involved, and Serena and I have been involved every year, and so now we're doing the Williams Sisters Tour this year, and we're going to do it in Chicago, Atlanta, and Detroit. And these cities we never get to play in because there's no tournament in like Atlanta or Chicago or Detroit, and so also we play there. A portion of our proceeds that we're doing for the tour is also going to go to the Ronald McDonald's House charity, so we're really excited about
that. A portion from the clinics, and we're going to do clinics for kids in conjunction with Ronald McDonald's House Charities and World Children's Day. So it's really going to be something special, something we haven't done before, and we hope to add to it even next year and just always be involved with our lives.
Now the PSA that you shot today involves something that you do really well, playing synthetic. You feel like, you know, when you're kind of just going back and forth to just like start a game and get competitive with each other?
No, we're a little tired.
It might be even a little bit harder because, you know, they're asking you to hit the ball right at the camera.
And she's serving really hard, so I'm begging her to serve the ball softer because if you're hitting them way too hard, I can't.
I know, and I'm like, I don't really know how to hit it soft, so that's the challenge.
And that's my favorite line. I don't know how to hit it soft. Okay.
I only hit it great. I don't know how to do mediocre.
I don't know how to do what you're asking of me because it's less than what I'm capable of.
It's cool. It's cool to hear. One, it sounds like they were on a plane. Is this a different kind of ride along?
A lot of activity.
Right. But it is cool because we've talked about this kind of with the Kardashians, right? The idea that they can be with their family. Right, that they can go through this with their family, that there's someone who knows them better than anybody else that can experience this with them, and they have that in each other.
Absolutely. And it's such an isolating world, one would imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to be a part of a sport or an industry. It's another thing to be in the very upper echelons of it, the isolation, you know, the stress, the pressures. So to have someone who gets it, going through it with you, and your sister no less, I can imagine would be something that's really important and really special. And just to circle back around to your point, it's something that obviously we know the Kardashians, because they've been so public with that, can enjoy is other people who get it, who are blood. And so it's cool to see that Serena and Venus had that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All along.
To close out today's episode, you
guys. No.
It's happening, Scott.
No.
But it's going to be worth it. You're going to want to hear this clip. We are fast forwarding to 2019.
Are we going all the way to 2019?
This was like yesterday.
Okay.
Well, honestly, it wasn't. It was the before times. Before the pandemic felt like
years. Right. Right.
But technically, it was the year before the pandemic. So in dog years, that's like 175,000.
Pretty
much. As we all know, Serena is a massive star, right? In her own right, she's had multiple championships, multiple number one titles, acting, fashion, brand endorsements. She's done it all. And she's always working. She hasn't stopped working, to be quite frank, since the mid-90s. And also, just to set the stage a little bit for this one, on a personal note, she got engaged on December 29th back in 2016 to Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian, and he and Serena welcomed their daughter Alexis Olympia on September 1st, 2017. So they were in love. They put the baby girl. Oh, you hear me?
Hey.
She's the cutest little thing. Oh my gosh, this
she is
I can't
cute.
Wait to see. The champion she becomes. I don't know in what, but with that champion mindset, oof.
What if it's going to be like chess?
Something great, right? The Queen's Gambit reloaded.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what if it's like, I know my mom was like this super physical person, but like,
I'm trying to hear all that.
Checkmate.
I'm going to think my way through this king, yeah. Queen pawn situation.
Dink. Whatever that little check thing, dink, your turn.
Can't wait. Alexis, you got this, girl. But honestly, she's probably like, she would be about 4 years old now.
14. Yep. 14. Yeah. Gotcha.
14.
17.
They got married just 2 months after they had Alexis in a lavish ceremony in Florida. So back in 2019, we caught up with Serena to talk about another one of her new ventures, jewelry. Now, during the interview, she told us that she hopes that women gift themselves the items. And this was pretty inspiring. I love this perspective. Listen to what she had to say.
You know, it's so important for women to gift themselves, because actually that's one thing I don't do. I never take out the time and just say, I'm gonna do this for myself, because you know what? I deserve it. I've worked hard my whole life, and I deserve to treat myself. So I've never really done that throughout, literally, if you can imagine. Like, I'm always so focused in my career, you know, I never take out that time. So I really wanted to do that, not only for myself, but also tell other women, like, gift yourself or be kind to yourself. You deserve it. It's a really important message.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It doesn't shock me, though, because I feel like you're so, like, such a hard worker, and so you have so many things going on, and I feel like we, to women like that, we tend to, you know, forget about ourselves.
Yes, we do. I know I do. And if I do, I'm thinking, I'm sure other women who are doing far more than I'm doing tend to forget about themselves. And so we've got to remember ourselves.
Absolutely.
And it's like, love yourself, you know, but it's easier said than done. And I'm still working on it myself. I still yet to get a pedicure in like months. Just like, because I'm so busy. And like, those are the little things that we have to do to take care of ourselves.
I know,
and like,
it's so hard.
Especially when you have a kid, it just gets a little harder. So,
you know, my biggest takeaway from that is Serena and I do have more in common than I realized. I have not won a Grand Slam championship, but I have not gotten a pedicure in months. And my toes have plenty to show for it. So
same. You are twins.
We are the same person.
Same person.
We are the same person.
Serena? Serena, are you co-hosting the vault with me?
Maybe
this week?
I don't want to talk about it, and no autographs. Hold on, I think this is Venus on the other line.
Serena Williams, we love her.
Gotta love
She's
her.
She's great.
Yep.
She's
yep,
incredible.
Yep,
yep. Mm. And I think that even if we're nearing the point where Serena is no longer competing in the sport, I think that she's going to continue to be a voice for those who are. And I'm excited to see what the next chapter holds for her. I'm excited to see her family grow up, her family grow. It's just a really cool experience to see her. So thank y'all for joining us this time on The Vault. By Access Hollywood. Subscribe to the show now. Just do it right now. Click, scroll up. You can do it right now. But subscribe. You want to hit the subscribe button or the thumbs up. You know, get more like this in your
Leave a 5-star review while you're there. I mean, 5 seconds. Easy peasy.
5 stars, 5 seconds. There you go. Sure. We'll see you next time. I'm Scott Evans.
I'm very
hot. Serena Williams.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.